Okay, so Diane's going to hand back the test at the end of class. We're going to start a new section today. Rebecca Marichek, looks like 5.1 and 5.3. So we're going to be talking about, actually, let's see, no, 5.2. And we're going to be talking about exponents and then also scientific notation. And the exponent stuff you guys should probably know from earlier classes or something. It's pretty obvious. So I'm just going to go directly into the notes here. I think we can, these are good enough for us to start with. And now it says student activity. I think what I'd like to do is kind of start you off with this, and then maybe you guys can do some of this. So an exponent like x to the fourth, remember that that can be written, x to the fourth is equal to x times x times x times x. And but if we multiply x to the fourth times, let's say, x squared, then we could go x times x times x times x times, and then x times x. So let's go ahead and write that out. So x to the fourth times x squared is equal to x times x times x times x times x times x. So this part right here is x to the fourth, and this part right here is x squared. But when you write it like that, then you can see that what it really amounts to is x times x times x times x times x times x, which is what? X to the, say it louder, six. That's right, thank you. So what we're doing then is we're adding the exponents from these two factors. So x to the fourth times x squared, we get four x's from the first factor, we get two x's from the second factor, and when you add them together, you get six x's, and so now we can write that result as x to the sixth. And so write the result as a power of x. Well, I wrote that here, so let's, so x to the sixth is the result of multiplying x to the fourth times x squared. Have you guys seen this stuff before? Is this, some of you may not have so much, but I think most of you probably have seen it somewhere. What could you have done with the exponents to get the result? Add them. So add the exponents. Now we're adding them because we're multiplying these factors. So x to the fourth times x squared. If you were adding x to the fourth plus x squared, no, you're not going to add the exponents. That doesn't work. Okay, now we can do something similar with dividing. We call this the product rule, what we just did. But now let's look at dividing these factors, and we'll call that the quotient rule. So again, we can write this out. X to the fifth divided by x squared, well, that's equal to x times x times x times x times x, which is x to the fifth, divided by, and then what? X times x. Is that right? And so if we cancel, these are all factors, so we can cancel common factors. So we can say cancel this x and this x, and we can cancel this x and that x. And what's left over is what? X times x times x, which is x to the third. And so x to the fifth divided by x squared is x to the third. And so write the result as a power of x, x cubed. If it's to the third power, we often say cubed, although you don't have to. It's just kind of a fancier, different way of saying it. So x to the third or x cubed. What could you have done with the exponents to get this result? Subtract the exponents. So subtract the exponents. And now again, we can do that because we're dividing two numbers, and we call this x a base. So this base is raised to the fifth power, this base is raised to the second power. They have the same base. If these were different bases, we wouldn't be able to do this, because these guys wouldn't cancel over here if they were different. So if you have two factors with the same base and one's dividing into the other, then you can subtract the exponents. And we're going to see a little later, this is actually a rule that we want to learn. Okay, any questions about this? So let's move on and product and quotient rules. Now we're going to use these, and let's go ahead and you guys do this. This is supposed to be a student activity, so we've talked about the basics of it. So let's go ahead and you guys try to work these out. Just take a few minutes. Okay, so I think most of you have finished. Let's do the top product rule problems. So y to the 6th times y to the 20th is y to the 26th. So we add the exponents because we're multiplying these guys. So 6 plus 20 is 26. 2 to the 3 times 2 to the 2. Now, one thing that I'm looking at when I do these problems is I want to make sure that this is a 2 and this is a 2. The base has to be the same for this rule to apply. Like here, the y's were the same. That this y and this y are the same y. This 2 and this 2 are the same. So because of that, we can add the exponents. So 3 plus 2 is 5. So 2 to the 5th is the result. Now these parentheses, there's a reason that they're there, but they don't need to be there. And so we can, for the purpose of this problem, we can just ignore the parentheses. So we get x to the 4th times x is what? X to the 5th, because x is the same as x to the 1. And so x to the 4th times x to the 1, we add the exponents and we get x to the 5th. And then we have y to the 3, y cubed times y squared. And so we can group those together and say it's really y to the 3 plus 2, which is y to the 5th. Everybody okay with that? I mean, at this point, the parentheses might seem a little weird, but we're not going to distribute or anything like that. Later on, we will, but for now, we don't do that. So, okay, and then the bottom row of problems, these are all dividing. Z to the 10th divided by z to the 5th, of course, the bases are the same, z and z. And so what do you do with the exponents? Subtract. So 10 minus 5 is 5, so you get z to the 5th. Here you have 2 to the 5th divided by 2 squared, 2 to the 2. So it's, again, subtract the exponents, and so you get 2 to the 5 minus 2, which is 3. Now this one, there's different ways you could write this. Notice, first the 10 divided by 4, you always want to simplify those kinds of fractions to the best of your ability. So I divided the 10 by 2 and I got 5, and divide the 4 by 2 and get 2. So you get 5 over 2, 5 halves. Now look at the x's. X to the 5th divided by x to the 4th. It's just x, x to the 1, but we can write x to the 1 as x. And I'm leaving that in the numerator because x over 1 is the same as x. I mean, if we want to think about it this way, we can say 10 divided by 4 times x to the 5th divided by x to the 4th times y cubed divided by y to the 6th. That's another way to write the same problem. And so 10 to the 4th is 5 halves. X to the 5th divided by x to the 4th is x. And again, I'm leaving that x in the numerator. Now, what might be a little weird is y to the 3 divided by y to the 6th. Now, what is y to the 3 divided by y to the 6th? So we could write that if we subtract the exponents, like we're being told to do, what do you get? Y to the negative 3. 3 minus 6 is negative 3. Okay? But y to the negative 3 is the same as, we haven't talked about this yet, we're going to run into this in a little bit, but y to the negative 3 is equal to, well, this negative sign is going to cause us to take the reciprocal, so it's going to be 1 over y cubed. Have we talked about this before? I don't think we have. Okay, so that's why I'm writing the y cubed down in the denominator here. So either way, if you wrote it as 5 halves times x times y to the negative 3, that's also a correct answer. Perfectly correct. Although, later on, we'll probably tell you to try to get rid of the negative exponents. Do whatever you have to do to make that happen. Okay. Questions about that? Yes?
I have a question, but it's also kind of think of it by the number that's a higher number. For instance, the x to the 5th is on top, and then the y to the 6th is on the bottom, that's a higher number.
Yeah, if you're okay with
the reciprocal, the minus, the negative exponents. You know, in fact, one way I would look at this is I'd say this is really y to the sixth divided by y cubed, but upside down, the reciprocal. So then you put the y cubed downstairs. Now that's confusing if you're new to this. You're right, the 5 is bigger than the 4, so the x to the divided by x to the 4th, which is x to the 1, which is x, and then that x is upstairs in the numerator. Because
it's different. Well, I just say they cancel 1 for 1. So wherever there's more of, that's what it's going to be. They cancel 1 for 1. Yeah, wherever there's more of.
Yeah, let me write that out in a little bit more detail so you can see that. And perhaps I should have done that this way anyway. So 10 x to the 5th y cubed divided by 4 x to the 4th y to the 6th. We can write that. If I write it as 5 times 2 times x times x times x times x times x times y times y, and then divide by 2 times 2, which is 4, times x times x times x times x times y times y times y times y times y times y. Okay, so that's the 6 y's. And now let's cancel what we can cancel. So that these twos cancel, these x's, x, x, x. But notice there's one x left over. And now let's cancel some y's. So these y's cancel, these y's cancel, these y's cancel. But now there's some y's downstairs that are still left. And so I would write this as 5x divided by 2 y times y times y. But what is y times y times y? Y cubed. So I can write this as 2y cubed. And that's what you get when you write it all out. Now, that's kind of tedious to write all of those out, and that's why we come up with these rules that help simplify it, hopefully. But that's exactly what I wrote up here. Does that help? Does that make sense? Okay. So let's keep going. Now we're going to look at a slightly different problem here. So they call this the power rule. The other one was the product rule. But before we, I don't know if you guys know that power rule. So I'm going to write it a different way. So this 3 means that there are 3 of these x to the fourths, right, multiplying together. So I'm going to have an x to the fourth times what? X to the fourth times x to the fourth. That's what it means to have this x to the fourth raised to the third power. But we already know what to do with x to the fourth times x to the fourth times x to the fourth. Because we're multiplying these, what do we do with the exponents? We add the exponents. So this becomes x to the 4 plus 4 plus 4, which is x to the 12th. Now, we could have also written this as x times 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 x. So this would be x to the fourth. This is x to the fourth. And this is x to the fourth. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is tedious beyond belief. You know, I definitely don't want to be writing these x's like this all day long. So it's good to have these rules. But if you add these up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So that's how you get the x to the 12th. Now, is there another way that we could have gotten this 12? multiply the 4 times the 3. Because we know that we're going to have 4 x's from here that are multiplying together, and this is telling us that we have 3 groups of those, and so that's what multiplication is all about. It's 3 groups of 4, or 12. So that's how we get x to the 12. So I would call that our answer. Okay? Likewise, this one works the same way. I can write this as 2 to the 4th times 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 2 to the 4th. So what we're learning right now is something called the power rule. And what happens is you're multiplying these powers. But we're going to use the product rule when we break this down. We're going to add these exponents. That's the product rule. So 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4 is what? 20. So 2 to the 20th. And now another way we could have gotten that is really this is 2 times 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 2 times, you know, you get the idea, right? I get carpal tunnel syndrome of the voice, you know, when I try to talk like that. So the easier way to do it is to multiply these exponents. And so 4 times 5 is 20, so that's how we get 2 to the 20th. Or I could write it out like I did over here. So when you have something that has an exponent in it, but then you're raising it to a power, then you multiply those exponents together. Back here, when you're just multiplying two numbers together that have the same base, but they have exponents, then you're going to add the exponents. So you're adding exponents here, but you're multiplying exponents here. Does that seem reasonable? They look different because in this case you're raising x to the 4th to the 3rd power. Okay. So let's do the next one. It says simplify products and quotients to a power. Now, I think we should break this down at first and see what's going to happen. Do you guys know what's going to happen here? Probably not. This isn't real obvious. So if we do it this way, 4x cubed y to the 8th times 4x cubed y to the 8th. Now this is not the best way to do it, because what if this wasn't a 2? What if this was like a 10 or a 5 or some weird big number? Then you have to write all this out. It's real tedious. But because this is a 2, we can afford to take the time to do this. So what do you get? You get 4 squared times x cubed squared. Now why do I say that? Why is it x cubed squared? Well, because you got an x cubed from here and you've got an x cubed from here. Agreed? Times what? Do you see what I'm trying to do? What's this last term? Y to the 8th squared. Very good. Because I have 2 factors of 4, I have 2 factors of x cubed, and I have 2 factors of y to the 8th. And so I can write it like this. Now, once we have it written in this form, then we can do what we did before. We learned something up here, which was multiply the exponents. Well, here, so usually with these numbers, you just go ahead and multiply it out, right? If you need to use a calculator. But 4 squared is 4 squared. 4 times 4 is 16. Times x to the, what is it? 6. 2 times 3 is 6. Times y to the 16. Okay. Now there's another way we could have gotten there. But does everybody see how we got this? Yes? Okay. So now we can come back here to the beginning. Instead of breaking it down like this, we could have gotten there immediately by doing what? Yeah, I don't want to use the word distribute because that's has a very specific meaning. But, I mean, if you think about it that way and if you're comfortable with that, that's fine. But be careful. The word distribute means something different. And I might even use that term occasionally because it's descriptive. But so what do we want to do? How do I want to write this? 4 squared times x cubed squared, which is, so I'm multiplying, I'm going ahead and multiplying the, I mean, how do we get the square here for on 4? Well, it's 4 to the 1. In fact, I can put that 1 there. So take that 2 and multiply it times 1. You get 2 times 1 is 2, so you get 4 squared. What is x cubed squared? X to the 6. What is y to the 8th squared? Y to the 16th. Because we're multiplying the exponents. So y to the 16th. So I can get there immediately without having to break it down like this. And saves us a little bit of time, saves us a little bit of writing, and it's correct. Okay, now we're going to have an opportunity to practice a lot of this stuff. So, any questions at this point? Are you guys okay with this? There's not a whole lot of nodding of heads going on. I could ask you to nod your head, but that's, some of you would, are you going to nod your head? No. Okay. Thank you. So, let's go the fast way on this problem. See if we can do that. So what do you get upstairs? X to the 6. Downstairs? 16. Y to the 16. Okay, good. Easy, right?
The most common mistake is you guys forgetting to square the number. Everybody gets the variable parts right. It's like, oh, x to the 6 and y to the 16. But you forget to square the number. 4 has to be, then you just write 4, and then we got it out. So make sure you square a cube or whatever the number also.
Okay, now this is you guys. Let's see what you do with this. So go ahead and take a couple minutes and do these. I'm going to hand out the sign-in sheet. Okay, so I think most of you are done with these two problems. The one on the right, I think, is easier, so let's do that one first. I always like to do the easy problems first. So notice that you've got an x squared times an x cubed inside the parentheses. One of the things that you can do is simplify something inside the parentheses before you do anything else. In fact, that's kind of in the spirit of PEMDAS. You know, you do whatever it says to do inside the parentheses before you do anything outside the parentheses. So x squared times x cubed is x to the fifth, but we're raising that to the fourth power. So you have x to the fifth to the fourth, which is x to the 20th. Or, I write the big OR here, or, you could go ahead and distribute, I hesitate to use that term, but it does kind of have the feel that that's what we're doing, even though I resist it. 4 times 2 is 8, so x to the 8th times, and then 4 times 3 is 12, x to the 12th. And now we can come back, and because we're multiplying these and they have the same base, and we can add the exponents. So 8 plus 12 is 20, so you get x to the 20, and you get the same answer either way. Now, which would I prefer? They're both completely correct. Diane, do you care?
No, I just like to get the right answer.
Yeah.
I always simplify with the numbers inside the parentheses first. In the long run, I find it easier.
I agree completely. I think it's easier if you simplify what's inside first. Okay, now this one, it's a little different just because it involves the division. And also, there's this minus sign, so you got to be a little careful about that. Remember, anytime there's a minus sign, for me, that's a look both ways moment. It's like if you're crossing the street, you want to look both ways. So if you see a minus sign, you got to maybe hesitate just a little bit and make sure that you're doing it right. So let's do the upstairs first and then the downstairs. Actually, if you look inside the parentheses, is there anything that you can simplify? No, I don't see anything that you can simplify inside the parentheses. So let's do the upstairs first. So we get minus 2 to the what? Cubed. Now notice I'm taking the entire minus 2, putting it in parentheses, and writing it to the third power. If you don't use parentheses, now in this particular case, you'll still get the same answer, but you run the risk of getting a wrong answer, like if it was a square, for example. So be safe and use the parentheses here. And we'll come back and figure out that answer in a moment. And then x to the... But we're raising it to the third power, so it's what? X to the sixth? Because we multiply the exponents. We're not multiplying x squared times x squared. We're multiplying x squared times x squared times x squared 3 times because of this cube. So we need to multiply the exponents. So that's x to the 6th. And then y to the 3, the cubed, y cubed. And now divide by, so downstairs. And what is the downstairs?
3.
So 3 cubed. And we'll come back and pick that up in a minute. And then z to the 9th. Because 3 times 3 is 9. And now we can simplify it a little further by going ahead and figuring these guys out. So negative 2 cubed is negative 8 times x to the 6th times y cubed. Divide by 3 cubed is 27. Z to the 9th. And there are no common factors between 8 and 27, so we can't simplify that fraction any further. So we leave that as the answer. So this is our answer for this one, and x to the 20th is our answer for this one. Questions about that? Okay. Now, every time we study exponents, we have to consider some special cases, and one of the special cases is raising something to the zero power. And they call that the power zero. I don't know. I don't know where they come up with these names. But anything to the zero power is what? Do you know the rule? Say it louder.
One.
So 5 to the zero power is 1. And that we could just treat that as a definition if you wish. It's we're just going to treat it as a true statement. We're not going to try to explain why it's true at this point. What is negative 5 to the 0? What is it?
1.
Now, would it also be 1 if we didn't have the parentheses? So the answer here is 1. But just to illustrate, if I had negative 5 to the 0, remember order of operation rules, you do the exponent first, and then you do the minus sign next. And so 5 to the 0 is what? 5 to the 0 is 1. Anything to the 0 power is 1. But there's a minus sign in front, so you get negative 1. So negative 5 to the 0 is 1, but negative of 5 to the 0 is negative 1. So just be careful with that. In fact, the next example does exactly the same thing. So negative 5 to the 0 is negative 1. Okay? And that's just a rule that you have to memorize. Anything to the 0 power is 1. Because you're going to see that occasionally. They'll pop that on you. Okay. Now we're going to talk about negative exponents. Sort of alluded to it earlier, but so 3 to the negative 2, what does the negative sign in that case do? Now you can do this on a calculator, or I think you probably want to learn the rule too. So what is 3 to the negative 2? Anybody? So, I'm sorry? Yeah, it's 1 over 3 squared. So the negative sign says you're going to take the reciprocal of the 3 squared. So it's 1 over 3 squared. And then 3 squared is 9, so it's 1/9. Now, if you do this on a calculator and you get some decimal, you need to turn it back into a fraction. Because when we do something like this in a problem, we're expecting this answer, not the decimal. Okay? Now, let's do... This is A and this is B, so let's do the B. So 5 to the negative 2 is what? One over 5 squared. And then you've got your A cubed. And then B to the negative 1 is what? It's 1 over B. So now we can write this. What's 5 squared? 25. So A cubed upstairs and 25B downstairs. Okay? Now, one of the sort of implicit rules that I'm using here is I'm writing all of the answers with positive exponents. And sometimes it doesn't matter if you get an answer with a negative exponent. Sometimes you can leave it that way. Usually in this course, I think we prefer to have you convert from negative exponents to positive exponents. Diane, do you agree with that? Like, if this were a calculus course, then we wouldn't care. In fact, oftentimes the negative exponent is the right way to do it. But here we're going to usually convert from negative exponents to positive exponents. So now consider 1 over x to the minus 3. Well, what does that minus sign do? You take the reciprocal. Now you might say, well, what happened to like just having the negative of a number? Well, we're going to have that too. But if it's in the exponent, then it's kind of a special case. And so we treat it differently. So this 1 over x to the negative 3 is the same as x to the 3 or x cubed. You turn it into, you do the reciprocal of the fraction, and x cubed over 1 is the same as x cubed. Okay, let's do the part B on this one. So, now, I'm going to go ahead and do, there's different ways of doing this problem. You see that there's an x with a positive exponent of 1 upstairs, but then there's an x with a negative exponent, negative 3, downstairs. I think the safe way to do this problem is to first convert them into positive exponents and then simplify. Now, later on, when you get good at this, we can subtract the exponents and convert from there. But I there may be different approaches to this, but let me go ahead and do this. So you get x upstairs, then what do you get? So what happens to the y to the negative 2? Where does it go? Downstairs. So you get a y squared downstairs. And you've still got the 3 downstairs. Now what about this x to the negative 3? What does it do? Because we're taking the reciprocal, it's going to bounce from, it's downstairs now, but because of that minus sign, it's telling us to put it upstairs, so we get x cubed upstairs. So this x stayed where it was because it was already a positive exponent. The y to the negative 2, we're going to change it to y squared, but we're going to put it downstairs because we're taking the reciprocal. The 3, we just leave it because it doesn't have an exponent on it other than the ghost 1. And that's positive, so we'll leave it where it is. But this x to the negative 3, the negative sign says take the reciprocal or you can just move the x cubed upstairs. So you get x times x cubed divided by 3y squared. Now we can simplify that. What is the numerator? What do you get when you simplify the numerator? X to the 4th. Divide by, and then 3y squared. That doesn't change downstairs. Okay? If you just follow the rules and go step by step, you get these problems right. It's when you try to skip steps that you get in trouble. Okay, let's do this one. Now, you've got 2/3 in parentheses, and then you've got a negative 1 as the exponent on the whole thing. What is that negative 1 telling you to do? Take the reciprocal, which is going to mean what? It's going to be 3/2. 3/2 to the 1, but 3/2 to the 1 is 3/2. So that's our answer. How about this one? Now, there are different ways of doing this problem, but what would be the easy way to do it? Kind of hard for you guys to know what the easy way is if you're just learning this for the first time, but would it make sense to try to distribute the negative 3 inside and do all of that, or would it make more sense to just use this negative sign in the exponent and flip it, do the reciprocal? Let's try that, do the reciprocal first. So what do you get? You get z over what? 2x squared y, all raised to the what power? You don't take the reciprocal of the exponent. It's just to the third power. Okay? Now, we still have to apply this 3, but at least now we don't have to worry about the minus sign. Now, someone like me or Diane, we could do that. We could do it all in one step. Because we know the rules and we're pretty comfortable with them. You guys will get there too with a little bit of practice. What's the next step now? So upstairs, what do we get? Z cubed divided by... Yeah, 2 cubed. We can go ahead and write that as 8, right? I'll go ahead and do that. And then x to the... 6, because we're multiplying the exponents, and y to the 3, to the third. Okay. So this was two steps. One of them was to take care of the minus sign in the exponent, and then the next step was to take care of the 3. Now, if there had been minus signs in these, inside the parentheses, or some other weird thing, maybe simplifying or whatever, maybe you do that first, simplify first. Don't be afraid of taking more steps if it's going to guarantee that you're going to get the right answer. Okay? So, student activity. So let's do this one. You guys go ahead and do these. Take a couple minutes to do them. Okay, so I think most of you are done with most of these. So negative. So we've got a couple of negative exponents. So go ahead and change those first. Actually, I see the x to the fourth times the x to the negative 2. We can go ahead and add those exponents together. So 4 plus negative 2 is 2, so we get x squared. And then this negative tells us to take the reciprocal, and so we get 1 over negative 3 squared. But 1 over negative 3 squared, negative 3 squared is positive 9, so we get x squared over 9. Here we've got a negative 2 in the exponent, so we're going to just go ahead and do the reciprocal of what's inside. There's nothing that we can simplify inside here. So you get 1 over 3yz cubed, and we raise that to the second power instead of the negative. And the negative causes us to find the reciprocal of this. So then, now we're going to apply the 2, so 1 squared is just 1. 3 squared is 9, y squared is y squared, and z cubed squared, we multiply the exponents, we get 2 times 3 is 6, so z to the 6th. You guys okay with all this? And then the last one, again, there's nothing that we can simplify inside the parentheses, so this negative 3 says take the reciprocal and then raise it to the third power. So we get x to the fifth over negative 2 cubed, but x to the fifth cubed is x to the 15th because we multiply the exponents. Negative 2 cubed is negative 2 times negative 2 times negative 2 is negative 8. And then I'm going to move this negative sign out to the side here and write it as negative x to the 15 divided by 8. Or you could leave it like this. This is fine, too. Okay? Questions? Okay. And then this page is just a summary of the rules. Product rules, we add the exponents. The quotient rules, we subtract the exponents when we're dividing. Power rule is if you raise something with an exponent to some other power, you multiply the exponents. Product to a power, if you like, you can think of it as distributing, but I don't like that word very much, but this is what the rule looks like. Quotient to a power, again, same sort of thing. Negative exponents, if you have a negative exponent, you take the reciprocal. Or if the negative exponent is in the denominator, you take the reciprocal and ends up in the numerator. And you can just take a whole fraction and take the reciprocal and... So you can see that rule. And then these special cases, a to the 0 is 1. Anything to the 0 power is 1. And the power 1, a to the 1 is a. So that's our ghost 1. We normally don't write that 1. You guys are already familiar with that rule, I think. And so just maybe review these periodically. Check back here to make sure that you're doing the rules correctly. And now we're going to move on to something called scientific notation. How many of you guys have seen scientific notation? So, maybe half of you? Okay. We're trying to figure out why we even want to study this in college algebra. First of all, I think it's a good use of exponents. We want to make sure that we understand exponents better, and scientific notation is one way to help you understand them better. Another reason is sometimes you'll use a calculator and you'll get an answer that is already in scientific notation. The calculator is not going to tell you it's going to do that, it just does it. And if you're not familiar with scientific notation, you might read off the answer incorrectly. So like if you multiply two very small numbers together, 0.00005 times 0.00321 or something, your calculator is probably going to write that result in scientific notation. So So that's why we're looking at it. Plus, it just has some use elsewhere. You might see it in, especially in Roxwold. I think you might see it there once in a while. Okay, so so I think it's okay to go through this table and just kind of look at these numbers and remind ourselves about these powers. So the number 100, and you guys all know base 10 number system. You grew up with it, so this is really should be easy. So you recognize this as the number 100. In words, we write it as 100. But what is 100? Well, it's 10 times 10. If you think about 10 times 10, what is that? Well, 10 times 10 is 100. And so we write that as 10 squared. So, and why are we writing it in terms of 10? Well, 10 is our base of our number system. So a lot of the numbers that we are going to look at, we can write in terms of 10, like 1,000, for example. Let's go ahead and fill in this table. So 1,000, I write 1,000. In words, 1,000. And how would you write that as a power of 10? 10 cubed. Because 1,000 is 10 times 10 times 10. It's 10 times 100, right? 1,000 is 10 times 100, and 10 times 100 is going to be 10 times 10 squared, which is 10 cubed. Right, 10 times 10 squared, we just add the exponents. What is this number? A million. Do you guys all recognize this as a million? So 1 followed by 6 zeros. So 1 million. Million. And how would we write that as a power of 10? Well, it's 10 to the 6th. Now, how do I know that? Well, a couple of ways. 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. So 10 cubed times 10 cubed is 10 to the 6th. Another way is we look where the decimal point is. And the decimal point here, it's not written, but it's sitting right there. If we count to the left, six places, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that means that we've got to move our decimal place six places, or that's the same as 10 to the 6th. That may seem a little weird at this point, but we'll come back to that. 1 billion, how would we write that? 10 to the 9th. What is a billion? Well, a billion is 1,000 million. And so 10 to the 6th times 1,000, so 10 to the 6th times 10 cubed is 10 to the 9th. Now, after a while, someone like me, I just memorize this. Because I use it often enough that we need it. Okay, now let's go in the other direction. These are big numbers. A billion is a big number. We can even get bigger, trillions and quadrillions and, you know, other big numbers. But we can also go with small numbers. So 1 divided by 100, so 1/100th. So that's the same as 1 divided by 100, which is 1 divided by 10 squared. But 1 divided by 10 squared, we just learned a rule with negative exponents. How else would you write that? 10 to the negative 2. So 1 over 10 squared is the same as 10 to the negative 2. Now, scientific notation is one place where negative exponents are okay. In fact, kind of expected. Okay, 1 divided by 1,000. How would we say that in words? Well, I'd probably say 1,000th. Is there a D there? I guess so. Yeah. 1,000th. And that's going to be 10 to the negative 3 because that's the same as 1 divided by 10 cubed. 10 cubed is 1,000, but 1,000th with the TH at the end. I have a little bit of a lisp. I don't know if you've ever heard my lisp. But so when I say 1,000th, I have to be careful that you understand what I'm saying. So if you have a TH at the end there, then you have a fraction, 1 divided by 1,000, and that's going to be the 10 to the negative 3. 1 over a million, so that's 1 millionth, and that's going to be what? 10 to the negative 6. And 1 billionth, 1 divided by a billion, is 10 to the negative 9. Okay? So, nobody's asking you to memorize these right away, but these are probably good things to know, and if we're doing more problems with scientific notation, you'll probably get pretty good at these. Okay. Now, an example would be when we're talking about the country, the United States, say the debt and the population, those are big numbers. Our debt is something like $23 trillion, and our population is something like 350 million people. So oftentimes these numbers are written in scientific notation. So, and let me just, let's start maybe do a little simpler example than this. So if I have the number, let's say 2.5 times 10 squared, well, what is that? What is 10 squared? It's 100. And 2.5 times 100 is what? 250. Okay. So here's the decimal point, 250. Normally we wouldn't write the decimal point. But if we're thinking in scientific notation, we always have to be conscious of where the decimal point is. So how do I know that I should write it as 2.5 times 10 squared? Well, I'm going to move the decimal point over 2 to the left. I want the decimal point between the 2 and the 5. And if I move it to the left 2, and I put it here, then I'm going to put a 2 there as my exponent. Now, if this is really confusing at first, you can do this on a calculator, but at some point you're going to want to learn how to do this without the calculator. So 250 is the same as 2.5 times 10 squared. And this is what we call scientific notation. Okay? Now, with numbers like this, you're like, why bother? Why bother with scientific notation? Well, if you had a number 2.53 times 10 to the 28th, actually, I was working with something over the weekend. I was doing a little physics problem. I wanted to know, what is the mass of Jupiter? What is the mass of Jupiter? Well, it's about 2 times 10 to the 27th. So 2 times 10 to the 27th kilograms. How would we write that? 2000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 Do you see why we might want to use scientific notation when the numbers are either really, really big or really, really small? So you got this decimal point here. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. So 2 times 10 to the 27. So this is useful for a lot of people. Okay, so now go back to this table. The United States debt is what? Well, it's 22 trillion something. So 2.2 times 10 to the 13. How did we get to 13? You take the decimal point, which is here, and you move, you count the number of places that you have to move it in order to get it, the decimal point between the 2 and the 2. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So 2.2 times 10 to the 13. Our population, 382.9 million. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So that 3.8 times 10 to the 8th. And I could write it as 3.829 times 10 to the 8th. That would be a little bit more accurate, but that still works. Okay, now that's the United States. What about the debt of Germany? What is it? 5.4 approximately times 10 to the what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Now what do I write here? 10 to the 12. And the population, now they're giving it to us in scientific notation, how would we write it as a normal number? 8, 2, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So it's put commas where they're supposed to be, 82 million for the population of Germany. What about China? So its debt, they have debt? That's weird. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1.8 times 10 to the 12. And their population is 1.39 billion, so I'd say 1.39, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to the 9th. Remember, 10 to the 9 was 1 billion. Oops. Can you see that? There. Okay. Are you guys all good with this? It's a little tedious. Now we're going to talk about some small numbers. The average diameter of an atom is 0.00000028 centimeters, or something like that. Write this number in scientific notation. So I'm going to start you off, 2.8 times 10 to the what? Negative something. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So negative 8. So if you're making a number small, you use a negative exponent. The diameter of a helium molecule is 4.9 times 10 to the negative 11 meters. So can we write that as a normal number? Well, I would go 4.9 here, but then I would start moving to the left. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Put the decimal point there. So let me make sure I did that right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay? Now the last thing we have to worry about is the arithmetic and doing it on the calculator. Because a lot of these numbers we're not going to be able to simplify. It's not going to be, you know, easy integers. We're going to have to use a calculator. So, like here, so they're asking the average debt per person. So debt per population. You take the debt, which is 2.2 times 10 to the 13th, divided by 3.8 times 10 to the 8th, which is the population, So you go 2.2 divided by 3.8, 10 to the 13th divided by 10 to the 8th. And now, let's see how to do this on the calculator. So I would go 2.2. Now, most of us, if we have the TI calculator that I'm showing here, we can do second EE, and you see you get a little E there, and then put the 13, because that's the 10 to the 13th, so put a 13 there, and then divide by what? 3.8 second E, what? 8 equals, and you get 57,894.74. Now, my calculator didn't give it to me in scientific notation. So, is this the same answer? So, I have 57,894, and if I move the decimal point to the left 4, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I get in front of the 5. That's how I get this to the 5th power here. But that's not proper scientific notation. Why is this not proper scientific notation? Well, because we want the decimal point between the 5 and the 7. Okay? So I would say we want decimal point between 5 and 7. How do we fix it? Well, you can enter it into the calculator and then hit enter, and it'll give you the right number. What you're going to get, if you multiply by 10 and divide this by 10, you're going to get 5.790 times 10 to the 4th. And that's what I would have gotten if I'd put the decimal point right there. 5.79 times 10 to the 4th. Does that make sense? Sort of? Okay. Now we're on the last page. I think I want to give Diane some time to hand back the test and make any comments. And so I think you guys could do this on your own. Look at your calculator, figure out what calculator button you have for the scientific notation. 2.2E13 means 2.2 times 10 to the 13th. You don't want to write E for 10. Some people do, but it's a bad habit, and I think it's misleading. Like here, they wrote it this way, but this is the result is something times 10 to the, in this case, to the 4th. So try doing this on your calculator and see if you get these answers. You're going to be doing this in the homework that's due tomorrow. So if you get stuck on that, you know, maybe ask. Some of you may also have a 10 to the X or a times 10 to the X button. If you don't have the E or the EE button, you might have this. And so it still works the same way, but you're going to have to use parentheses when you divide. And so use the information from the previous page and just go ahead and do the average debt per person for Germany and China. I think you guys can do that. Diane, did you want to say some words about the test? Or after you've handed it back?
me to finish.
Okay, so most of you already knew your score because you hung around for me to grade it. I've not posted the key yet because we have one person still kind of sick and waiting to take it. So she should have taken it today. So just to remind you, there was Part A, Part B. Part A had 55 points to it plus a 5-point bonus, so you could have gotten a 60 out of 55. And Part B, which you took on Friday, had just 45 points. So if you add the two totals together, Matoto, I hope you're okay with me putting yours up. Here. I'm putting hers up. I might even do hers as the key because her handwriting is so much nicer than mine to take a look at and grade. So you can take a look at yours tonight. Just kind of go through it. Some of you are already starting to ask me questions about the cumulative final because we have a cumulative final in here. And so keeping track of your exams and what mistakes you might have made, just keeping them in your folder is always good for that. You know, 7 weeks from now or whatever. 10 weeks from now when we take the final. I don't mean stressing out the cumulative final part yet, but just keep these exams and make sure you figure out why you got something wrong. Most of the mistakes were not really major for most of you, so this was a really good test overall. So I will be posting the key for that or for this exam probably tomorrow. I don't have much else to say about it today. So where did the homework come from tonight? Rockland or Marichek? You
know, Marichek.
To Marichek. Yeah. Is it one page or two? Two. Like a two front map.
Two pages.
Yep. All your excellent rules. Brandon emailed me this morning.